Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, Sweden. Idag går vi på bröllop i Las Vegas. Jag får veta sanningen om min blivande fru. Och så får vi prata engelska när vi ringer upp bröllopsikonen nummer ett här i stan. Du lyssnar på podden från Las Vegas, där vi pratar om USA inifrån och om Sverige från ett utlandsperspektiv. Häng med! Att göra en resa som jag har gjort är som ett enda långt äventyr. Många gånger har det hänt saker som jag genast delat med mig till mina vänner där hemma, men det är faktiskt många saker som jag aldrig berättat. Och det tänker jag göra lite då i den här podden. En grej som inte många vänner vet om är alltså att jag gifte mig. Och bara det är ju lite galet, men att Michelle, som hon heter, var dotter till en maffiamedlem gör ju det hela lite mer spännande. Man får väl säga att jag hade aldrig gift mig så snabbt om det varit under normala förutsättningar. Men då man ville fortsätta ses, och jag bodde i Sverige och hon bodde i USA, så fick det bli så. Hade Jennifer kommit tillbaka och sagt att hon ville hjälpa mig med ett falskt bröllop, så hade jag förmodligen backat. Det var mer en kul grej vi skojade om, men att göra det, det hade nog aldrig hänt. Så slumpen gjorde det så att jag träffade Michelle, och the rest is history, som man säger. Hur är det då att gifta sig i Vegas? Ja, vårt bröllop blev ett normalt Vegas-bröllop, och det började hemma i lägenheten där vi klädde upp oss. Jag hade tuxedo och hon en inhyrd klänning. Och hon var ganska nervös. Jag var väl lite nervös också, måste jag erkänna, men det var mest en kul grej. Det blev ett litet bröllop med endast några få vänner på plats. Michelles mamma var gammal och riktigt dålig under tiden där, så tyvärr kunde inte hon komma. Och Michelles pappa var i Vegas på halvtid, kan man säga. Han spenderade mest sin tid hemma i Pittsburgh, där han var loan shark och jobbade alltså numera som loan high. Så totalt blev det 6 gäster, tror jag, och det är väl ganska vanligt när det kommer till Vegas bröllop. Vi hittade ett litet passande chapel downtown i Vegas och bokade en tid för den 5 augusti 2008, klockan 6 på kvällen. På eftermiddagen var det ganska nervöst, som sagt, men i det stora hela så var det för mig personligen mest kul grej. Det var ju först om 2 år vi skulle gifta oss på riktigt, och om det då kändes riktigt bra hade vi bestämt. Michelle var lite mer nervös än jag. Jag körde bilen till stan och vi hade inte kommit mer än några kilometer när Michelle skrek ut att nej, vi måste vända och hem igen. Backar du ur redan, tyckte jag, med ett litet skratt. Nej, jag glömde ringen hemma, sa Michelle. Jo då, visst var hon nervös. Vi vände hemåt, hämtade ringen, och på väg ner till stan igen så satt Michelle och drack i en mugg med Diet Coke och is som hon hade tagit med sig. Det var ju 40 grader varmt där på eftermiddagen, och man behöver ju ganska mycket vätska. Och Michelle var ett stort fan av Diet Coke, så hon drack det konstant. Kan jag få lite, sa jag. Jag var lite törstig. Nej, du dricker inte Diet Coke, tyckte hon. Jo, men jag behöver lite. Så får jag lite då. Nej, du vill inte ha detta, sa hon. Jag tittade på henne och då förstod jag varför. Jag fick muggen, och visst, det var inte cola i den muggen. Det var typ 90% whisky. Och det drack Michelle aldrig annars, så visst var hon nervös. Väl hos prästen nere i downtown så fick vi vänta. Inte på att kapellet skulle bli ledigt, men på att Ryan och hans fru Fabiana skulle komma. De anlände först 6:20. Och normalt så tar ju ett bröllop i Vegas inte mer än 15 minuter, så det var ju ett ganska bra tecken på Ryans inställning när det gäller höjdpunkter som inte gäller honom själv. Jag kommer förmodligen berätta en hel del otroligt sviniga saker om just Ryan framöver, som kommer få er att undra om jag verkligen är riktig som kunde hålla mig en sån person i mitt liv. Och det kan man faktiskt undra. En gemensam vän, Nicholas, sa det bäst, tror jag, när han sa det att "To hang with Ryan is super fun, but after one day of Ryan, you need 2 days off." Själva akten gick ganska bra. Det var faktiskt ganska fint i sin enkelhet. Kapellet hade en liten bandspelare som agerade kantor. Prästens hjälpreda iförd t-shirt och jeans tog bilder, och efter själva vigselakten så skålade vi champagne men det togs fler bilder ut i trädgården. Dessa bilder är det väldigt få av mina vänner som ens har sett. Men om ni går in och kikar på hemsidan så kan ni få se några av dessa undangömda bilder. Och ja, visst, bröllopet var som det ska vara i Vegas. Oscar, som var min best man, flörtade med Michelles maid of honor, Danielle. Och Ryan höll låda och min Jennifer fällde några tårar, precis som det sig bör. Vännerna åkte med ner till Fremont Experience downtown för en drink eller två. Men snabbt blev det bara jag och Michelle. Vi gjorde som många andra gör i Vegas när de gift sig. Vi festade, dansade runt bland spelmaskinerna, tog bilder med turister och hade riktigt, riktigt trevligt faktiskt. Bröllopsresa blev det först ett år senare då vi drog till Hawaii, men den resan kan jag ta en annan gång. Ja, just det. Ryan tog mig åt sidan där ute i trädgården och ville skåla oss två vänner emellan. Han höjde glaset och sa några ord om vänskap och avslutade med orden: "Just be careful about Michelle. She's a real bitch." Vegas är bröllopens huvudstad nummer ett i världen, som ni kanske vet, och det sker i genomsnitt 120 000 bröllop i Vegas per år. Mest hektiskt är det på Valentine's Day, motsvarande Alla hjärtans dag, då det i snitt är 2000 bröllop på en enda dag. Då står det bröllopsgrupper med 10-20 meters avstånd i kö utanför kapellen och varje akt tar ungefär 15-20 minuter. Och det finns ju till och med drive-thru-bröllop här i Vegas då man inte ens behöver lämna bilen för att gifta sig. Vegas i ett nötskal. Men vem vet mer om bröllop i Vegas än Elvis? Så jag tycker vi tar och ringer upp honom.
Hi Elvis, thank you for making time. I understand you are busy marrying people nowadays.
Oh man. Vegas is wide open now, baby.
Yeah, how come? Did you get tired of the spotlight?
I got sick and tired of it. I'd rather marry some people than ruin their lives.
I think marry people is not ruin their lives.
No, no, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Elvis is called King of Rock, and he's a legend all over the world, but no other town is more connected to him than Las Vegas. How's that?
You know, Elvis, he did a lot of sold out shows here. I think he set the world attendance record for the number of consecutive sold out shows at the, it was called the International Hotel back then.
Okay.
Now it's the Westgate. It was the Hilton before that.
Okay. Is that why he still is an icon in Vegas? Because I mean, Elvis is everywhere in Vegas.
Yeah. It's amazing that, his spirit still lives on in here. There's so many Elvis impersonators still in this town, professional and unprofessional. There's a Elvis is on every corner still. It's great.
Yeah, that's true. So did Elvis actually marry people back in Vegas?
He did not. In fact, people think that Elvis got married at a wedding chapel, and he did not. He got married in a hotel suite at the top of the Aladdin Hotel, which is now Planet Hollywood.
Okay.
So Elvis never married anybody, to my knowledge, and he never got married in a wedding chapel. People always think that. They have their history. They have their facts confused, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors in this town, and we are known for that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I guess our listeners understand that you're an Elvis impersonator. Your real name is Chad Collins. What's your story? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee, the home of country music. Decided very, very early, like 3 years old, what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to entertain people. I grew up singing for family and friends and doing impressions. They would laugh at me, and they would put a tip jar out for me and throw money in it. And they would laugh at me because I would get the lyrics to most all the songs wrong because I was so, so young.
You started when you were 3 years old, you said?
Absolutely, yeah. I have photographs. I had photographs of me with my first guitar when I was 3 years old. I wish I still had that photo. But I did impressions all through my life growing up. I did impressions of teachers in school, movie stars, presidents. I used to scare my friends in school by impersonating a teacher and getting scolding them because they were doing something wrong. And they would always freak out and turn around and discover it was me and not the teacher. You know, I used to get one of my junior high school principal sat me down at a lunch table. We were at the cafeteria and I was walking by. He said, "Chad, come here and sit down." Like, oh man, I'm in trouble. I sat down, folded his hands and rested his chin on his hands. He says, I understand you do impressions of teachers. And I was kind of relieved at that point because I knew I wasn't in trouble, but I was still very nervous. So he said, okay, do an impression of Mr. Walker, for instance. So I did an impression of Mr. Walker for him. He goes, now do Mrs. Joplin. And then that really got, but she was a female teacher and I did an impression. So he said, okay, now do me. Maybe do an impression of him to his face, my principal. So after I was finished, he just kind of grinned and nodded his head, looked at me. He goes, okay, you can go now.
He was just curious to listen, right?
Yeah, he heard rumors about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So did he like your impression?
Oh, I think definitely so. I mean, I never really toot my own horn, but the one thing I feel like I was born to do in this life is do impressions. It's what I think I'm the best at.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Maybe I will ask you to do an impression on me too.
That's going to be a tough one with the accent stuff, but I'll try.
I don't have an accent. What are you talking about? All right. So you grew up in Nashville. Nashville is known for their country music, right?
Yes. Country music capital of the world.
Yeah. So is country your cup of tea?
I think it's relatively easy for me to do it, in my opinion, because I was born a country boy. And it's one of the easier impressions I do. The difficult thing I have with country music is I never sound the same on every song that I sing. If I'm doing a cover tune of, say, Dwight Yoakam, I know I'm going to sound like Dwight Yoakam more than myself, if that makes sense. If I do Johnny Cash, I'm going to sound kind of like Johnny Cash. I'm going to do Elvis and sound kind of like Elvis. So I've had trouble in my career finding my own voice, which is why I've accepted and embraced the fact that that's what I was born to do, is being an impressionist. That's my calling.
All right, cool. Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, are you ever Chad Collins?
I've heard very few things I've recorded where I actually think, hey, that's my sound. That's me. I can always hear a hint of somebody else in everything. Others can hear it too, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes I sound like certain country stars that people know. Sometimes it's a common, a hybrid, if you will, of other people.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you grew up in Nashville, and there's music all over, do you go to special music university or college, or how does that work?
You can. They have Belmont College, a music college in Nashville, but I never went to anything like that. I took a couple of guitar lessons, maybe a couple of vocal lessons. I had a vocal teacher. I took like two lessons, and he was paid in advance to give me like 10 vocal lessons. He was a very highly paid coach to the stars, if you will. I took two lessons from him, and he refused to see me anymore.
All right.
No, because he said I didn't need him.
Oh, well, that's it.
But even though he was paid for 10 lessons by my manager at the time, and he refused to see me after the second lesson. He says, you don't need me. He goes, I'm not sure why you're here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is really crazy. You know, I get chills thinking about it, because this guy was like the Yoda of voice coaches in Nashville, you know?
Yeah. All right. So that is a couple of years ago.
Yeah, just a few.
What happened after that?
Well, this was after the fact. When I got out of high school, I got a job as an intern at a recording studio on Music Row in Nashville. So I was the coffee boy, the take out the trash boy, plug in the microphones, watch, be quiet, watch, learn, and listen, you know.
All right.
So I became an assistant engineer. And then after a year or so, a couple of years of that, I became my own recording engineer, doing my own sessions late at night, singing my own songs in the studio, just me and a microphone in the control room. That was ages ago. That was what they call analog recording. And now it's all done digitally, which I know nothing about.
So did you perform a career as a on stage, or what happened?
Well, I became a sound and lighting guy as well. I also did work for what they call a cartage company, which we would load in the equipment to the recording studios and shows for like the highly paid musicians. You know, we would be there basically like their temporary roadies, if you will. We'd go to the warehouse, pick up their equipment, take it, go set it up, and go get the next guy's stuff. And then I grew from that into setting up stages, lighting rigs, PA systems, and became a front of house engineer for live shows, a monitor engineer for live shows. Did a lot of stuff like that. I haven't done that kind of thing in years, and I miss it, actually.
All right.
Production is a beautiful thing.
So you kind of work behind the scenes.
Yes.
But at the same time, you want to be on stage.
Yep. I learned the behind the scenes before I got on stage.
Okay. So how did you take the step to really be out there on the stage?
I was actually kind of almost talked into doing it. You know, my friends are like, well, why don't you come and sing with my band? Why don't you come and sit in one night? You know, then it became to, hey, why don't you join my band? Why don't we start a band? And then I, the Elvis thing, yes, I'm going to skip many years later, but it was all about just playing in, you know, lounge bands and stuff like that. Really didn't happen until I got to Vegas. I started performing in casinos before I was even in a band.
Oh, okay.
As a tribute artist.
Oh, okay. So how did you end up in Vegas if we move forward?
I got a random phone call one day when I was working a day job in California installing water softeners. I got a random phone call one day that, hey, this guy wants you to come and be in his show in Las Vegas for a week as Tim McGraw, famous country singer. So I got a wild phone call one day, came to Vegas. It was supposed to be only 1 week just to fill in for an act that was missing. I did the 1 week and the place was amazed with what I did. This is what I could see.
Okay.
I think I blew the room, blew everyone away with what I did. And then after that, my final night, I had to walk home to the ghetto in Las Vegas because I had no job, no car, a wife and a son with me at the time. I had to walk home carrying my cowboy boots, my cowboy hat, my wardrobe, and a check that I could not cash because the banks were closed and nobody at the casino knew me. So they wouldn't cash my check at the casino cage. So I remember just crying, walking home like 3 miles to the ghetto after doing a spectacular performance, I thought, in Las Vegas for the first time in my life. And I thought, this is it. That's all I got. You know, now I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm paid. And I had to walk back to the ghetto. And
in the ghetto.
And then, in the ghetto. Yeah. And so several months later, I continued working day jobs and tried to stay in Las Vegas with the hopes that I would get something else going. And I could not. I didn't know anybody. I had no connections. And then one day, right when I was about to give up and go back to Nashville, Tennessee, I got the phone call. And I got a long-term contract at Stratosphere Casino where I was performing. Where I did that the week as a substitute.
All right.
And I ended up being in that show for 5.5 years, 6 nights a week. I ended up becoming the company manager for the show before it was all said and done. And then I left the show. And an Elvis impersonator in that show, by the way, got me into the wedding business. I had never done Elvis in my life. He would do Elvis weddings in the daytime, and he would do the show at night. So he says, well, won't you fill in for me for a week and do some Elvis weddings? I'm like, man, I don't do Elvis. I don't have the hair. I don't have the costumes. I don't know what.
Yeah.
So I did it anyways. I just went to the thrift store, bought like a black, shiny looking jacket, slicked my hair back, you know, and did some Elvis weddings for the week. And I made a lot of extra money in 1 week.
Yeah.
I said, hey, maybe there's something to this whole Elvis wedding. And I kind of got out of it for a while after that. And then I ended up with no show and no job for a while when the show at the Stratosphere closed. And I was all depressed sitting around. And my wife at the time, she goes, what are you doing? She was just sitting here depressed. You know, you're drinking yourself to death. You're not happy. She goes, go do your Elvis thing. She goes, you know, you can do it. I know you can do it. You bought a $700 Elvis wig.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a joke. She goes, do it. So I took a photo session of me as Elvis and I did a video. What do they call that? Promo video. Yeah. Walked into the Little White Wedding Chapel here in Las Vegas, a very famous place. Walked in the door with my little DVD of me doing Elvis, and they hired me on the spot.
Oh, no kidding.
And I ended up working for her 7 days a week for almost 6 years, making incredible money. I mean, like first time six figures, if you want to get specific, you know, 6 figures a year to do Elvis weddings.
Wow.
And but I had no life because I was so busy on call, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking doing like 20 to 30 Elvis weddings a week for 6 years. That's how many I did. Wow. Thousands. So and then here I am now. I got tired of working for other people and the counting on them. So
yeah, if we go back to last year, you and your wife Kayla, in March last year, you started your own chapel, correct?
Yep. Yep. 1 week before the pandemic.
That must have been a disaster.
Well, yeah. I mean, we thought it was going to be over before it started. And we have a prime location right on Las Vegas Boulevard. That was I figured, okay, my dreams have led me to this. I was wondering why I was never famous, why I was never the big star. And then the wedding chapel made sense to me. Once we finally achieved that goal, I said, you know what? I said, this is what I was going to do right here. All my paths have led me to the wedding business in Las Vegas, yeah. You know, by my impressions.
Correct.
That's what led me here in the first place. So, with the pandemic hit a week after we opened, and here we are, things are opening back up. Thank goodness our landlord was really cool. What was he going to do? I mean, nobody's going to pay him any rent to do a wedding chapel during a pandemic anyways.
Right.
So we owe him significant money still. I have a payment plan to pay him back, but our business is coming alive. We have the best location of any wedding chapel in Las Vegas somehow. I'm almost crying talking about this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think you and I, we met a little bit before the pandemic hit, and we became friends pretty much on the spot, I think. So I saw this, your mood and how happy you were, open up your chapel, and then boom, 1 week later, it was dead. So it has been a tough year. How did you get by when you didn't have any chapel? What did you do?
Well, I sat at home. I sat at home like most everybody else did. I stayed indoors like you're supposed to, locked down, you know, just go out for groceries. That was it. There was no place to go in Las Vegas. You were here. There was nothing to do.
Right.
You could not go anywhere. You could not go to a bar. They were all closed. You could not play a slot machine. Those were all shut down. Every slot machine in the state.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? I mean, it's really like apocalyptic to think about.
Yeah.
No one was on the street. So we stayed at home. Stayed at home and ate, drank, watched a series after series after series, you know, slept. Just did nothing but sleep, and because it was easier to sleep through it, you know.
Yeah.
Very depressing, man.
Yeah. But now it's picking up.
Big time. It almost seemed to happen to me overnight. I mean, even when they allowed people back in casinos a little bit, the rates were really low, very affordable for everybody. So we did have some undesirable element, if you will, come in during that time. People who could not afford to go to Vegas normally were here, you know. So it really didn't help our business a lot either. They weren't interested in getting married, you know.
Yeah.
So the wedding business is just now about a month and a half, 2 months ago, started to break wide open again. And it's actually, I think this year and next year are going to be the biggest years Vegas has seen in 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Because people were all cooped up like we all were. People are ready to get out now, come to Vegas, live it up, you know.
So tell us a little bit about a day at the chapel. How does it work? What do you do?
Well, you know, in the beginning, it was my wife, Kayla, and myself, you know, running everything. We could not afford staff, especially going into and coming out of a pandemic. We were trying to build something. So a typical day for us would be, during the pandemic, there wasn't much to do. We would just answer the phones and hope someone was going to try and book for the future. But a typical day at the chapel would be, you know, we have employees now. A wedding coordinator will open the place, put a little sign out front where we offer pretend wedding photos for $35, which is very popular. People can take photographs in our wedding chapel, even if they don't want to get married, and fool their family and friends on social media. It's extremely popular. It's like the Vegas practical joke.
It is. You know? It is.
And that we discovered that's a very good source of revenue for us. So that happens. But a typical day, someone will book a wedding. We might have someone walk in off the street and say, hey, we want to get married. How do we do this? So we'll advise him on how to do it.
If my friends back in Sweden and even my Swedish friends here in the United States, if they come to Vegas and they want to get married, what do they do?
Well, the first thing you have to do is pre-register online for your marriage license. No wedding chapel can give you one of those. Contrary to popular belief, people think that they can just walk into a chapel and the chapel does everything, the license, everything.
Okay.
No chapel has the authority to issue a marriage license. But it's a very simple process. You pre-register online, the bride and groom, they're going to ask you about your parents, you know, where you were born. They're going to ask you things of this nature. And then you have to pre-register for your marriage license. Then you go downtown to pick it up. The Marriage License Bureau is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. until midnight. Once you have that golden ticket, I call it a marriage license, mm-hmm. you bring that to any chapel in Las Vegas or any licensed wedding officiant, and they can perform your marriage. And then they turn in your certificate to the recorder's office.
Okay.
To get you all legalized and legit. And the weddings here are recognized worldwide.
Okay. So what chapel should they go to? What's the name of your chapel?
I think they should go to, I highly recommend this one. It's called Little Chapel of Hearts.
Okay.
That's us. Trust me, the big famous ones, they don't need any more customers.
But you are the biggest one soon, all right?
Well, we hope to be. We're the new guys on the block. But like I said, we're very proud of our location right on Las Vegas Boulevard, right across the street from the Strat, which is the really tall building, if you've ever seen it on TV. The tallest building in Las Vegas is called the Stratosphere. Now it's called the Strat for short.
Yeah, they changed name there a couple of years ago. That's right.
Yeah.
So you've been married, been marrying people for years and years. Have you married any cool couple, any celebrities?
If it makes sense, I've married some people that were famous in other countries that I didn't know who they were. I have been on some television shows. I've been on What Not to Wear. I've been on that television show. I did a fake wedding for the host of that show. They did a pretend wedding. I was on the Ellen Show.
Oh, really?
With a comedian, Kevin Nealon. I did a skit with him on the Ellen Show to where I'm performing an Elvis wedding at a drive-thru, and he comes and taps me on the shoulder and says, "I got it, Elvis." And then he takes over for the wedding. So he tapped me out of the wedding, you know?
Okay.
It was really cool. I saw it, and I don't have a copy of it. I can't find it anywhere. I mean, that was like a big moment for me being featured on the Ellen Show, even for only 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
But here's a cool rock and roll story, though. I was doing a wedding one time at this chapel I used to work for, and people wear costumes all the time in Vegas to weddings, having fun, right? So I'm setting up my Elvis equipment to get ready to do it, to perform a wedding. And this guy walks in the wedding chapel dressed like Slash from Guns N' Roses. And I thought, okay, here we go, this guy. Well, it turns out it was really Slash from Guns N' Roses.
No kidding.
Yeah, his brother was getting married that day, and he was the best man. So we started the wedding, and I'm 2 feet away from Slash singing right next to one of my rock and roll gods, you know? So I was extremely nervous. After the wedding was over, he gave me a little fist bump. He goes, "Man, you were effing awesome." And that, to me, was like, gives me chills. You know, for a rock god to actually take time to tell an Elvis impersonator that he wasn't mediocre or a joke. He said, "Man, you were effing awesome."
Oh, that's awesome.
And we took lots of pictures with his family. I wanted a picture of me with Slash really bad. But he's one of those guys, man. He doesn't do many picture ops. You know, he's kind of like that.
Yeah.
At least the vibe he puts off says, don't dare ask me for a picture. So I took pictures for like 30 minutes with him and his family. I'm going to go home. I'm in the parking lot. I walk past Slash as he's getting ready to get in his limo and leave. And I go in my truck. I take off my Elvis wig, my Elvis costume, and get ready to leave. And I sat there before I started my truck. And I said, I can't let this moment go. So I put my Elvis stuff back on, or else he wouldn't have recognized me, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So then I approached Slash before he left. I said, "Hey, man, can I please get a picture with you?" He paused for like 10 seconds. "Okay." So I'm like, this guy's going to turn me down right now. But I think he thought about it. He goes, "Well, he just took a bunch of pictures of me and my brother's family. So, okay." So I got my picture of me with Slash that I wanted. So I was very proud of that. Still am proud of it. It's on my website now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you don't mind, I might put that picture on goodmorningsweden.com.
Please do. I'd love you to share it. I'm very proud of it.
Awesome. So, if I understand right, you can do different kind of weddings. I mean, you can do weddings at the Vegas sign. And tell me about that.
Pretty much, we can marry someone anywhere they want. We can offer what we call a minister, mobile minister.
Okay.
I mean, I've married folks in their hotel suites. We don't have any rules. We don't tell our customers no if it's within reason.
Yeah.
You know, we've done weddings where people dressed up in S&M costume, you know, the ashless chaps, the whole bit. But you can get married in front of the Bellagio fountains. We just can't use their name in our advertisement.
All right.
I can mention their name in this interview, of course, but we can get married at the Welcome to Las Vegas sign is a very popular spot to get married. I do 6 or 7 of those at least a week.
Yeah.
I do almost more of those than I do chapel weddings. Because out there, it's a public place. It's just a world famous location. Everybody knows what it looks like. So I do a lot of ceremonies there and in the chapel as well. But yeah, I'll marry someone anywhere in the state because I'm licensed to. So if it's the budget's right, and it's never very expensive to get married in Las Vegas. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Depending on what you want. If you want a very simple, basic, no frills wedding, it shouldn't cost you more than a couple $100.
Okay, cool. Do you ever get tired of being Elvis?
I get tired of being Elvis a lot. It's been a good career for me. It's going to continue to be a good career for me. But I've married literally thousands of couples, thousands. When you think about that number, it's a lot of people. So these days I have more fun when I get to just be myself, put on a nice suit, you know, wear my hair the way I normally wear it, talk like I normally talk,
yeah, and
marry some folks. That's the most gratifying time for me is when I can be myself and legally marry someone. It's almost empowering and not in an egotistical way. It just feels like I've done something good with my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of being a licensed minister. Much prouder of myself because you can't really take yourself seriously when you're dressed up like Elvis. You know, it's fun. It's entertaining for people. I get that. But when you've done it for so long and so many performances, so to speak, it gets a little burnout. I'll take a vacation from it for a week or two and not do any. I'll leave town or something. And I'll come back fresh and I'll have fun with it again, you know.
So I'm a little bit curious. You have, you know, so many different Elvis songs. You have Jailhouse Rock, Love Me Tender, Can't Help Falling in Love, so many songs. What's your favorite Elvis song?
Treat me like a fool. Treat me mean and cruel. Love me. That's my favorite one.
Awesome. You know these Blue Sweet Shoes? I thought they were singing Blue Sweet Shoes.
I bet you were. I bet that's probably a really big song where you come from for that very reason.
Yeah, it took me a while before I figured out what it actually means. But do you have any Blue Sweet Shoes?
No, but I have some Sweet Shoes.
Yeah. Did you see I had Blue Sweet Shoes?
Yeah, I've never had any. I don't even know where to buy them. I have to go online and look.
I bought them in Sweden, actually. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I don't know if Elvis even wore them himself. He sang the song, but I don't think he ever wore blue suede shoes.
Yeah, I have no idea. Oh, that's awesome. So you also do something else beside your Vegas wedding chapel. You are on stage impersonating Luke Bryan. Now, Swedish people are not that big into American country music. So maybe they don't know who Luke Bryan is. But tell me about that. What's that all about?
That is a relatively new character for me, and it really wasn't my idea. I perform with a country rock band. We play cover tunes in bars, country bars, casinos and stuff. And I repeatedly heard people tell me, because I wear a ball cap a lot when I perform, a baseball cap. You look like Luke Bryan. And I'm like, well, who's Luke Bryan? Because I didn't really know or pay attention to it. And I had a Legends in Concert show who I performed as Elvis. And as Tim McGraw in multiple shows throughout the years across the country. And one of their locations says, hey, what other characters can you do? So popped in my head. I said, well, I hear Luke Bryan all the time. And they're like, oh, my God. They said, if you can do that, we'll have you back here as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So that's taken me other places. You know, just when you think that one path of your career ends, it's because I can do multiple characters and have gotten away with it at least. It's opened more doors for me, making my phone ring more, keeping me busy, you know, more opportunities.
Yeah. Awesome. So what was one thing that you wish you knew before you start your career as an artist or on stage? If you could go back and give yourself an advice, what would that be?
Don't be overconfident. I've never been a cocky kind of mentality person, but I was humbly aware of what I was born with as far as talent goes. And I really thought in my mind, I promise you, I did, not cockiness, but humbly speaking, I felt in my soul that I was born to be a rich and famous performer. I thought it was just going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was that good. So my advice is don't be overconfident. Don't think that just your talent alone is going to get you there. You're going to get beaten by a lot of people with less talent that have better work ethic and that are more, even more humble and willing to work harder. So that's advice I would give someone that thinks they have talent and want to go somewhere with it. You work your ass off. You have to put in a lot of work. You have to not let anything distract you.
That's true.
They say don't quit your day job. The best advice anyone ever gave me was one of my mentors, very, very good man named Eric Hamilton. He said, they say you into get in show business, don't quit your day job. That's exactly what you have to do. You have to quit your day job and live it.
Yeah. Put all your effort in the one place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Put your blinders on.
So what is your biggest failure in life and what did you learn from it?
My biggest failure in life is multiple times trusting the right people. I had a billionaire manager at one time in my career when I was at the prime age in Nashville to be signed by major recording companies. My manager also wanted to go into the publishing business. Now, I didn't know anything about that. I wanted to be the artist, the singer. So I bring in what supposedly is a friend of mine at the time because he knew publishing and songwriting. So I bring him in to help me out and he stabbed me right in the back almost immediately, made it all about him. He was controlling my manager and my manager's money and ended up basically booting me out. And he made a lot of money after I was gone by getting a song recorded by Kenny Chesney that he actually started writing with me one day.
Yeah.
We started writing the song and never finished it, just didn't show any interest in it. So he finishes the song with two other people. And then Kenny Chesney, a huge country star, records it. I didn't get any writer's credits. And he denied that I ever even did anything to help him.
Yeah.
So don't trust anybody, especially when you have something that's really valuable or you have a very powerful person that you think can help you in life. Don't bring a buddy in there. You take care of you first.
Yeah.
That's other advice. I sounded kind of angry when I said that, didn't I? Bitter. A bitter party of one.
But you learned something from it, you know?
I did learn something from it. You when you have something like that, you play your cards close to the vest, as they say.
Yeah, that's right. When you're done working at your chapel and done being on stage as Luke Bryan, what do you do? What's your hobbies?
I love to play Texas Hold'em poker.
Okay. That's how we met.
Yeah, I love poker very much. And in fact, you know this as well. I mean, I'm so busy these days that I don't really have time to devote to go and play live poker. I can go play for an hour here and there, but that's not enough. You know, when you play a proper poker session, you're going to be there for hours.
That's true.
Yeah. So I also love fishing. Oh my God. I love fishing so much. Freshwater fishing, saltwater fishing, any kind of fishing I can do, especially if I'm traveling, I like to go fishing at places that I wouldn't normally get to go. Every place I go, I got to check out the fishing because it's going to be different everywhere you go.
Yeah.
So that's my passion as well.
All right. Awesome. I asked my Swedish guests I have in the podcast here, the American dream, what that means for them. But you as an American guy, what is the American dream for you?
My American dream for me is just being able to make a consistent living, doing something that you love, not something that you were, you know, somebody else wanted you to do or you wanted to do only for money. Do something that you love in some variation. That's the American dream. And also owning a piece of real estate in the United States, which I've never on my own had that. I've never owned a home or land. To me, that's the American dream.
All right.
You have something to show for it. When you do, Lord forbid, pass on, you have something to show for your life, your life's work, you know?
Awesome. Awesome. Another repeated question I have. If you just won the Powerball, $400 million, and you can do whatever you want in life, why would you quit being Elvis and move to Sweden?
One more time now? I got lost there.
Yeah, that's the point.
If you won the Powerball.
You won the Powerball. That's the big lottery for those who don't know that. So you win $400 million. That's so much money. You don't need to think about money anymore. You can do whatever you want. Why would you quit being Elvis, quit your chapel, and move to Sweden?
The women.
Good point.
So Sweden has some beautiful women I've seen throughout the years. I'm a very, very happily married man, but there are some of the most beautiful women in the world in Sweden.
Can only agree.
Oh, man, I have never been there, but I've seen them on TV. maybe my first time in Sweden, you can take me and show me around, you know, but I can just look at I can look at the girls, but not touch.
That's right. You know, you have a standing invitation to join me when I go to Sweden next time. So
I would love to come see you, Sweden.
Real question then, if money really wasn't an issue, what would you do every day?
If money really wasn't an issue, I would still want to play poker. But first and foremost, I would want to just be on a beach somewhere, you know, fishing, boating, being on the water. I think it's that way for everybody. I haven't met a single person that doesn't enjoy being out on the water. You know, it's like therapy, you know. It makes you feel like how small you really are and how big the world is when you get out on the ocean.
That's so true.
I love it. So that's what I'd be doing. A whole lot of nothing. A whole lot of nothing.
A whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to let you go. I know you have a wedding coming up. If I need any marriage counseling in the future, or if I need a minister to marry me, I assume that you can help me out, right?
Oh, man. Absolutely. I can help you out with that, baby. I want to thank you for having me on your show. I've been hearing about it for a long time. I'm glad to finally have the time to be a guest on your fine program here. And I just want to say, man, Soren in Sweden, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okej, jag tackar Elvis för att han ville vara med i programmet och jag tackar dig som lyssnare för att du ville lyssna på veckans avsnitt. Gå gärna in och kolla på goodmorningsweden.com och lämna en kommentar vad du tycker. I nästa avsnitt ska jag fortsätta berätta historier från den här galna stan och jag har också en ny gäst som kommer berätta en spännande historia om sin tid här i USA. Tills dess, god morgon Sverige, ha en bra dag!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.